Well, good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody back to our fourth session on Provision with Purpose. Welcome also those of you who are online tonight for joining us. And as we start tonight and pray about this session, let's also just spend a moment praying about this upcoming hurricane that is heading toward Florida. I know we have children down there in that area where they're saying it's going to head. And if you'll just join us, we'll pray for others in our body who have kids there as well. So, Father, we thank you tonight for your love. We thank you for your protection over us here. And we thank you for your protection over those in the body of Christ down in that cone of uncertainty where that hurricane is headed. We speak to that hurricane and we say to you, peace, be still, in Jesus' name. We declare that our fellow members of the body of Christ, our fellow family members, they're protected, they're hidden. In Christ, in God, and we thank you for that protection over them tonight. And Father, as we study tonight, we ask that the Holy Spirit be the teacher that we know He is. We open ourselves up to Him to be taught of the Word. Father, I just ask tonight for clarity of thought on my part. I declare that the things that I hear from you, I'll speak, and none other will I even listen to. So we look forward to what you're going to teach us tonight, Father, as I know you've got plans for us. Plans for good, plans for increase. And it's in Jesus' name everybody said, amen. All right, the first three sessions we've been anchored in Psalm 35:27, and in the Amplified, the last phrase of it reads, "Let the Lord be magnified, who delights and takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servant." Let the Lord be magnified. He's talking about you. He takes pleasure in your prosperity. And we've defined prosperity using 2 Corinthians 9:8, and in the New American Standard, which I'll be using, it says, God is able to make all grace abound to you. So this is not something we're working for and earning. This is part of His grace, His gift to us. That we always, having all sufficiency in everything, that you may have an abundance for every good deed. So we're talking about prosperity being defined as all sufficiency and abundance, so that everything we need is provided in the Lord. We've also been anchored in 3 John 2, which says, Beloved, I pray or I wish, depending on which translation you're reading, that you may prosper in all things, not just a few, but in all things. So we're talking about peace, we're talking about a prosperous soul, we're talking about health, and we're talking about operating in prosperity so that we have that abundance as well as our needs met. And where does that prosperity begin? It begins inside us. And that's why John is writing to us and said, we're going to prosper in this carnal realm just like we do in our spirit realm, because that's where the blessings come. Last week, we focused on Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom. And we talked a lot about where am I putting my trust? Where am I putting my love? Am I putting it in the Lord and seeking His kingdom? Because when we do that, we have a promise that what? All these things that we need, everything that we need, when our focus is on Him, will be provided to us. And so then we looked at a man who had plenty. And he said, so you got good stuff and you got lots of it. And 10 times he said, I or my. So he ended up talking about tearing down these barns. Where was his focus? Totally on me. And the Lord actually required his life from him. But what should his focus have been? I have an abundance. Lord, where do you want me sowing? We looked at 1 Timothy 6 about people who pursue, I would use the term unethically, riches. And it also tells us that riches aren't bad. We act like sometimes being rich is a four-letter word in the church. But it's not. It's the love of money that is the problem, not the money itself. And we began to close last week talking about Psalm 66, verse 12, and I want to read it to you. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. That was their perspective. What was really the problem? Their lack of believing what Moses told them that the Lord had said. And then it says, we went through fire and through water, but you brought us out into a wealthy place. So we talked about what a wealthy place is. Our wealthy place. And it's not just a location, but it's also a condition of the heart, the Word tells us. And then we looked at Isaac. And we looked at the children of Israel. The children of Israel came out from abject poverty as slaves in Egypt. And the Lord took them to a land of just enough. And there they built their trust that He would provide day to day for them. And after they overcame some fears that we talked about, and we won't reteach all that tonight, they did what? They entered into that land of promise, to the land of abundance. So many people think that abundance is when we get to heaven. But it can't be, because what was there in that promised land? There was opposition that they had. And there's not going to be any. So they were able to go from lack to just enough to abundance. And then we looked at Isaac. And when he was in the land with Abimelech, the Lord told him to stay there when a famine came. And he was obedient. And what did he do? The Lord told him to sow. And he did. And he got up to a hundredfold return in that 1 year. So what did Abimelech and his subjects do? They got jealous. They began to envy. And envy, we studied several weeks ago, leads to strife. And they contended with Isaac and his people. And they ended up filling in the wells that he had dug. How stupid could that be? In a drought, to fill up wells just because somebody else dug them when you're reaping benefit from it. But Isaac wasn't troubled by that. What did he do? He knew that he was under the blessing of the Lord, so he didn't look to the wells as his source. He looked to the Lord as his source, and he just left, separated himself to stay out of strife, and dug more wells. And then finally, what happened after this occurred 3 or 4 times? Abimelech and 2 of his guys came to him and said, "We clearly see." And this goes back to one of the purposes we talked about for this provision. "We clearly see that you are the blessed of the Lord." And therefore they asked for him to make a covenant with them that they wouldn't have any more strife or he wouldn't do any harm to them. So what do we learn from that? That we can, by the blessing of the Lord, go from not having what we need to having enough, but His desire for us is take us to our wealthy place. That place where we have all our needs met and we are able to walk in the abundance so that when He tells us to sow into something, we are able to do it. Tonight, I want to begin talking about something a little different. So I want you to go to Psalm 115 with me. And we're going to look at verses 12 through 15 in Psalm 115. I want to begin to talk tonight about being a steward, but not just a steward. I want to talk about being a faithful steward. In verse 12, "The Lord has been mindful of us." Let's just stop there. Do you go through your day thinking that the Lord is thinking about you every step you're taking? Every step you're taking. Psalm 32 says He counsels us and He guides us with His what? With His eye upon us. At all times, His eye is upon us. And then it goes on and says, He will bless us. And the way that's written, there's no doubt in that. He will bless us. It doesn't say He might, He shall. He will bless us. Then it goes on and says He'll bless the house of Israel and the house of Aaron. So He's blessing those who are in covenant with Him. He's blessing the king part of it, of the kingdom. He's blessing the masses of the people. And He's blessing the tribe who did what? Who were the ministers to the Lord and to the people. So often today, we think some of these scriptures only apply to pastors, that they're the ones who can get blessed because they're always up front. That's not the case. And then there's the other camp that doesn't think the pastors ought to be blessed. So we have instruction here that He will bless us no matter what role we're in. Verse 13, "He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great." In our second week, I believe, we talked about how we need to believe that we all can be blessed, no matter where I'm starting. If I don't consider myself of equal stature with someone else, first of all, you're making a mistake in comparing. But you need to know this scripture tells us that He wants us elevated no matter what state we're in. He wants us to have increase. And that's what verse 14 then says. "May the Lord give you increase The King James actually says, the Lord shall increase you more and more. And it goes on to say, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. So I want to focus tonight on being a faithful steward and also the subject of increase. I think that's a message the Lord really wants us to walk in this evening. So how am I going to do that? What do I need to do? If it's part of His grace, I know we receive grace through faith, by faith. So what do I need to do? Well, let's go to the book of wisdom, Proverbs, in the third chapter. And we're going to look at some scripture here that gives us some instruction of what we need to be doing. Proverbs, the third chapter, and we're going to start at verse 15. Now, this entire chapter is talking about wisdom. Verse 13 talks about blessed is the man who finds it. So we're going to pick up in verse 14. Let's do 15. That's where Julie already is. Talking about wisdom, it says, she is more precious than jewels. It goes on to say, and nothing you can desire compares with her. So as much as we long for things or finances, or as much as we desire them with the right heart to walk in it for the Lord's sake, nothing compares with wisdom. Now, you may ask, why is that? Well, wisdom is we're told, is the principal thing. But what do we see in it? With wisdom, what we're about to learn is if we don't have these other things, silver, gold, and other things, then what will wisdom do for us? It will give us the plan of God to walk in this the way we need to, so that we can. So wisdom will help us when we don't have it. Am I not on? Which one? I got it going. It says green. Can you not hear? I'm sorry. So we see here that wisdom is more precious than jewels. And then look at verse 16. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. So we see here that riches and honor follow the wisdom of the Lord. And what is wisdom? That instruction that we need to walk in to fulfill and walk in all His ways. Look at Proverbs 8, and we'll validate this with two or three scriptures. We're going to start in verse 17. Now, this is interesting the way this is written, because it says, I love those who love me, and it's talking about wisdom here. But we don't need to have a problem with that, because the Lord is wisdom. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Too many of us today think, I just don't have the wherewithal to understand His wisdom, particularly in financial things. I've had people say to me, even as we started this study, are you going to tell us exactly what to do? And I'm going to tell you what the Scripture says, but the Lord's going to tell you what to do. And this is part of His wisdom that we need to see we can walk in. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me. Then it says, enduring wealth and righteousness. Enduring wealth there is translated, really, the word means durable or valued. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield than choicest silver. So do we see here the role and the place we need to put wisdom? So the question we begin to ask ourselves is, do I seek finances more than I seek the wisdom? Because that's the wrong direction, much like we saw in seeking the Lord. Then look at verse 20. I will walk in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. And 21 says, He's going to walk this way, the wisdom's going to do this for us, to endow those who love me with wealth. that I may fill their treasures. It is the Lord's desire we're seeing, and He says we can achieve this walking in Him, focused in Him, as we pursue His wisdom. I want to look at one more in Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. 24, verses 3 and 4. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious, or I would say valuable, and pleasant or delightful riches. So over and over we're seeing that wisdom is the principal thing, and this is what we need to be pursuing, not the financial part of it on its own. Now these verses were available, these promises were available to the children of Israel. So look at, if you will, with me, Isaiah 48, verses 17 and 18. They were given to us in the Old Testament verses, were given to us as examples, and we want to learn and not make the mistakes that they did. Verse 17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord who teaches you to profit. That's His heart, is to teach you to profit. Who leads you in the way He should go. And then in 18, talking to the children of Israel, and I'm going to say He's not talking to us today. If only you had paid attention, and I'm going to say that the part we're not, that He's not talking to us about is this, because you're here on a Wednesday night, so you're coming and paying attention. Then your well-being would have been like a river. And that word well-being is peace, shalom. But what have we seen? Shalom also has a very strong connotation of welfare or provision or prosperity, however you want to say it. And your righteousness like the waves of the sea. And your, can you see in this the heart of the Lord? His remorse that the children of Israel would not listen to Him and walk in it. So we've got a decision to make. How are we going to do this? Let me read you what the Amplified says. If you had hearkened to my commandments, then your peace and prosperity would have been like a flowing river. Does that sound effortless to you? Just get in the river and let it flow to you? The Good News Bible says that then the blessings would have flowed to you like a stream that never goes dry. Victory would have come to you like the waves that roll on the shore. So we have the heart of the Lord on this, I believe, for us tonight and going forward here at High Point. Why would He want to talk to us about this? Well, my personal opinion, and this is why I wanted to share this, is that the Lord wants for High Point Church and for those of us who call this our place of worship, He wants us to increase. And He wants us to increase in a way that we've not seen before, above and beyond what we might expect. Why does He want us to do that? Because I'm convinced He's got more for High Point Church to do than we realize. And that's where my heart is. Now, the part that is exciting to me is that He's talking to us about it. Because if He gives us and reveals light to us, then we're responsible for it. So what is He saying to us? I've got confidence in you that you can do it. He's got confidence that we can walk in these things to do the things that He's asking, just like we're being instructed tonight. So let's talk about stewardship and faithfulness. I need to define stewardship, and I'll use our dictionary today, the big Webster. It simply says, one who actively directs affairs. So one who is responsible for affairs. It adds in an earlier translation, administers the affairs of a household, a state, or finances, or of other valuable items. And that's important. Because while we're talking about prosperity and financial things tonight, these principles are going to extend to everything that is valuable to the Lord that He's given to us to steward in this earth. So what are some of those? Well, in 1 Chronicles 28, David talked about that he had made stewards over all the substance and the possessions of the king. So he gave others responsibility for everything that the kingdom actually possessed, that he as king possessed. In 1 Peter 4, Peter says we're to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God, of that multifaceted grace of God. Now, people look at that primarily as pastors and teachers, and I can understand why, but each of us has that responsibility. And then if you'll go to 1 Corinthians 4 with me, in the first verse of 1 Corinthians 4, Paul tells us that we've been made stewards over the mysteries of God. Over the mysteries of God, over the things of the Word, because that's how these mysteries are revealed. Now again, this is a role that pastors and teachers primarily take, but we need to see that we all walk in that assignment as well. Now, the next verse is where I really want to start. Look at what it says. In this case, moreover, it is required. It's not a suggestion. We might say it's an imposed condition. It's a demand. It is required of stewards that one be found. The New American Standard says trustworthy. Many other translations say faithful. That they be found faithful. Faithfulness is a big, big deal with God. It is the essence of who He is. Psalm 36 talks about His loving kindness extends to the heaven and His faithfulness to the skies. So it's unending. It is a big deal with God. Now I want to confess something to you that happened to me, to BJ and I actually, many years ago. We were at our church and we had a special speaker come in. She came in several times, a lady named Pastor Louise Brock. And one Sunday night, she called the entire church, and there were probably several hundred there, up to the altar in our taking turns. And she said, I'm led that I need to prophesy over you, every one of you. So I can remember that evening, and please take this with the heart that I have with this and want to just show you how I didn't understand these things. She went down the line and she would tell this person, this is what you're going to do. Thus says the Lord about you. And some were going places and some were having miracles and signs and wonders and others were starting businesses and were going. It just went on and on. And I'm sitting there thinking, holding hands with BJ, this is going to be good. And she gets to us, and you'll probably laugh when I say what she said and my reaction to it. She said, the Lord shows me that He can trust you to be faithful to give where He tells you. Now, the only reason I share this is because several hundred people heard it, so it's not a secret. Do you know that I was disappointed? I wanted something to do. I thought that's where the action was. But you're going to learn tonight what I had no clue of then. What the value of faithfulness is to the Lord. And it pertains directly to how good of stewards we are with the gifts, the blessings, that He's poured on us. In verse 2 that we just read, it is, in this case, moreover, it is required of student that one be found. So this says to me, we don't want to be faithful just when someone's looking at us. Everything we do, we're being faithful. So it's not just a one-time affair. This is the way I conduct my life. As a faithful or as a person that can be trusted. He goes on to say that about trustworthy or trustful, the word is pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S, same word we use for faith. And Rick Renner has the best series of words I found describing it. Faithful, he declares, or he says, means reliable, loyal, steadfast, that one is trustworthy, dependable, dedicated, constant, and unwavering. Those are the attributes that the Lord is looking for in a person who is faithful. The Hebrew word for faithful is a similar word. It actually means to be firm. And it's a word used to describe a peg, like a wooden peg, driven into the wall of a house or a home. And on that peg, you would hang your valuable possessions, certain that it was not going to give way, that it was going to be firmly implanted there. So a similar connotation. Now let me tell you what faithful is not. A lot of people equate diligence and faithfulness. And as we look at diligence next week, we'll see that's not the case. Diligence has to do with some effort that we have to put forth. Another thing that people seem to think is attributable to faithfulness is how good you are at something, how smart you are. But that's not what it's about. Faithful is about, can you be trusted to handle as He desires for you to, as He tells you, those precious things that He wants to give to us. Now, one other element of a steward that I haven't talked about is a steward is a distributor. He distributes food. He distributes resources or money. That's what a steward that we're going to look at who didn't do a good job and got in some trouble for. He misused it. He used it for his own gain, his own good. And what the Lord wants us to do, I believe, is we are distributors for the blessings, for the prosperity, for the provision that He's going to bestow on us so that we have our needs met and we're able to do those four things that we talked about with purpose. What's the purpose of our provision? Now with that, go to Proverbs 28 with me. And you'll see why this is important to us as well as to the Lord. The 28th chapter of Proverbs, the 20th verse. A faithful man will abound with blessings. A faithful man will abound with blessings. That's just a fact. That is a promise we have from the Lord. Now, it makes me ask the question, well, what about an unfaithful man? Well, it's not that the Lord doesn't want to bless him, but this tells me it's one of the attributes of abounding in blessings is to be faithful in what we do. The Complete Jewish Bible says a trustworthy person will receive many blessings. Many blessings. So, well, let's ask the question then. What is my part of being a good steward? Being faithful. What is God's part in this equation that we're looking at here in Proverbs 28:20? To provide the blessings. That'll cause you to think a little bit. And when I thought about it, my first comment was, well, God, you're faithful. I know your part's going to happen. So if I'm not walking in the blessing, I'm not getting into condemnation. But what am I asking? Am I being a faithful steward? Am I being faithful? Because your word says, when I am faithful, blessings will come my way. They will abound. Not just one or two. They're going to be like that river flowing that He described to us earlier. Now, Proverbs 20, verse 6, just says, many a man proclaims his own loyalty or goodness, but who can find a trustworthy or faithful man? Says two things to me. We tend to think higher than ourselves maybe sometime than we ought, but it also indicates that you're not going to find everyone as faithful. It's kind of like faith when the Lord said, well, I find faith when I come back. He wants that precious like faith in us, and He wants us to be this trustworthy person. So where do I put my focus? On faithfulness. Now, Pastor Trey taught on the book of Jude the other night, and this is kind of how I feel teaching this tonight. Jude starts off and he said, I want to talk to you about our like salvation. What's he saying? Well, I want to tell you all the good things we got in God. But then he goes on, he said, but I feel compelled to talk to you about contending for the faith. And that's the way I am tonight. It doesn't sound like a rah-rah message, but I see the value of being faithful as a steward. And I want you to grab it because I'm just so assured that when we grasp this, we're going to walk in a degree of increase that exceeds our expectation. So let's look at Luke 16, and we're going to look at a few verses that talk about faithfulness. 16th chapter of Luke. Now in this 16th chapter is the account when Jesus is describing a parable. And he's talking about a certain rich man who had a steward, and the steward squandered his money, and he called him to task for it and said, give me some answers. So the discussion takes place about that. So this is talking all about money, and the word mammon is used a lot. And I want to pick up in verse 10. He who is faithful in a little thing is faithful also in much. What's that telling us? This is God's assurance to me that if I will be faithful in things that aren't big, in fact, it says in a very little thing, something that might look insignificant to you, it might look unimportant or seem unimportant to you. And if you're concerned about what others think, they may think it's unimportant. But this says if you're faithful with that, then the Lord knows that He can trust you to be faithful in much. That's a strong word right there. That is a very strong word. When I first read this next part of it, and one who is unrighteous in very little is also unrighteous in much, the very little jumps out at me again. And I go back to what Zechariah says, that despise not small beginnings. A lot of people will tie it to that. And I understand that, but this verse is telling us so much more. Small beginnings, it could start small, but what if it doesn't grow as fast as you think it should? Or if you look at your finances and you say, well, my finances meet that very little context. What should this urge you to do? I think it should take us to a point where we say, Lord, I want to be faithful with everything you give me. Now let's go back to why I was disappointed when Miss Louise declared that over us. I looked at what we were tithing back in those days, and this was a very long time ago. And I was wondering how in the world the Lord could consider what I'm doing significant. I didn't value what He had given me. He didn't see it as insignificant. I did. And in placing my value on it like that, then I'm saying, I don't value that which you've given to me. Now, the problem with that is that inhibits us, we're going to see a little later, in moving on to other things, because it doesn't just apply to money. Keith Moore, a teacher that I listen to a lot, talks about a young man at a meeting, a young adult man, who came up to him and said, hey, have you been in the restroom yet? And he was so excited. And he said, well, no, sir, I haven't. He said, well, I'm the one who keeps it clean in there. That place is spotless. He was so pleased with it. What was he doing? He was esteeming as important to God something that seemed very menial or very small that others would never, ever think about. So what is the difference here between being faithful and unfaithful with a little thing? The sole difference in it is how you view it. how you view it. If it's finances, if you don't see what the Lord has blessed you with thus far as significant, then this says you're going to be unfaithful with it. So we've got to make sure we have the right attitude concerning this, because it's going to grow on us. Whether it's little, whether it's not enough to make a difference, or not big enough to be important for one to notice. When we don't esteem it as important, we're saying, God, what you've told me to do or what you've given me must not be important to you either. We're questioning Him. And that is absolutely the wrong way to start off on this journey of trying to be a good steward. It is not about the size of something. It's about my character, so that I see what God has given me just like He sees it. Seeing it is important to Him, seeing that if I sow $5 into a ministry because He's told me to, that is a big deal to Him. And how often have we just taken money and plunked it in a box or in a plate, and there's no significance, it's just something we're doing, okay, I felt led to give a little. We don't value the importance to Him and see it as critical as He does. Now, why is that important? Well, let's look down at verse 11. So it's about our character, not just the size of it. Verse 11 talks and says, if therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon. So what is that talking about here with unrighteous mammon? It's talking about things as it pertains to the natural. Money. It can be other things. If we're talking about assignments we've been given by the Lord, like the young man who cleaned the bathroom. If you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust true riches to you? All right, so we know unrighteous mammon is things of the world, carnal things. What are true riches? Things that have an eternal impact. It's not just talking about more money. Now, this verse takes a lot of what the world says and just flips it upside down. Because how often have you had people tell you, look, it's about the spiritual things. That's what's important. Don't worry about any of this carnal stuff. This verse right here says if we are not faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth or mammon, those things that are carnal, then we shouldn't expect true riches, things of eternal value, to be given with us. Why? Because of how we value it. It goes back to how we see it, how we esteem that which has been entrusted to us. It is exactly the opposite of what the world thinks. Now, true riches. Let's put 10 and 11 together then and read them together. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unfaithful in a little thing is unrighteous also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust true riches to you? Do we realize that what the Lord is telling us here, and let's talk about the financial part for a minute. If He can't trust me, well, let me back up. How often have you said, as I have said in my life, well, Lord, I'll do more when I get more. You bless me, and then I'll start doing it. And Lord, I desire to be able to pick what your heart's desire to do in the kingdom to serve Him. So you say, Lord, I desire to do that. Do you realize that if we are not faithful with that little gift, if He tells you to sow $5 and you sow $2, if we're not faithful with something that seems insignificant, this says we won't walk in those true riches that I know each of you desire to do. I know most all of you in here, and I know your heart's desires to serve in that way. But it's such an easy trap to do, because what is Satan doing? He's working diligently to keep you focused on the size of what you're doing, how many people are in attending in a session, versus the eternal impact that it's having and that it can make, not only for you, but for someone else. So this is some pretty stern instruction. I actually heard Brother Kenneth E. Hagin talk about a time, a long time ago, and I forget the exact dollar amount, but it was $5 or less, because it just really struck me as minor. And the Lord instructed him to do that. And he said it wasn't a couple of days later that he was ministering to a couple, and I believe it was a young girl. She was very ill and about to die, and he prayed for her and she was healed. And you know what the Lord told him? If you hadn't been obedient in that $5, you wouldn't have positioned yourself to work with the eternal riches that I let flow through you today. That's sobering. It's easy for us to say, well, I must not have heard, or make excuses why we don't do these small things. These verses say our actions have an eternal weight to them. Now, I don't want to say that that's the only thing that can hold you back. There is no question in my mind that when you begin to do things the Lord wants you to do, He's going to fight you, and one of the ways He's going to fight you is with finances. So there may be some attacks that are coming against you. But if you're constantly in this mode, then I've learned, I go back and make sure I'm doing the things that He's told us to. In fact, I'll ask Him. And that's one reason I'm here today. Lord, what have I not done that You've told me to do? Where have I not been faithful with something? So that's not a bad question to ask, and He'll be faithful to tell you that, I assure you. Look at verse 12. In this same vein, He says, and if you've not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? So what does this have to do with us as stewards? Well, what are we doing as a steward? What does a steward do? He takes care of another's affairs. Let's use me again. It extends to other things. If I viewed doing this series at Trey's behest as a way for me to get exposure so I can use it as a stepping stone, am I being faithful? No. We'll see a lot of people do things, and it's not out of faithfulness, it's out of self-serving. So we've got to make sure our heart is in the right place when we do it. Now, what does it mean to be faithful with someone else's? Who are we faithful to? Now, you might say, well, to the Lord. Yes, I understand that. But if I'm handling your money, I need to be faithful to you. If we're handling the Lord's money, then who do we need to be faithful to? To Him. So we know who we're faithful to. What does it mean to be faithful with it? I can remember at work giving people instructions and saying, this is what we want to accomplish. 1, 2, 3. And it wouldn't be unusual if we got 1 and 2 and part of 3. And the answer was, well, when we looked at it, we thought that was enough. Let me give you an example of me. The Lord told us, since we've been in Macon, to make a $500 contribution to a ministry. So on the way there, I called the person who was I was giving it to, and I said, the Lord has instructed me to do this, but I'm going to be able to give you half of it today, and I'll give you half of it later. Guess what I heard as I drove the streets of Macon? I told you to give this amount, not half of it today, not half of it later, because I didn't think the timing was good. I wasn't being a good steward of His resources that He has provided me with. So again, there's a lot of areas that we can find ourselves where we're not being faithful. And again, I say, if that's where you find yourself, don't condemn you. We'll talk about that at the very end. So when I ask you then, what should a faithful steward do? Let me read you what the Living Bible says for 1 Corinthians 4:2. Now the most important thing about being a servant or a steward is that he does just what his masters tell him to do. Now, who does that remind you of? Does it remind you of our Jesus? Where he said, I only do what I see my Father do. Later on in that same chapter, he says, I don't do anything of my own initiative. Why? Because to do something different from what we were told would be unfaithful. A lot of people today want to take responsibility and want responsibility to be given to them, but yet they're not willing to be found faithful first. And so this is a big deal, and I want us to see this from a financial standpoint. We want to do just what the Master tells us to do. So let's put all three of them together. If you're given a small task in a business where you're working for someone else to do, and then you add your own twist to it, have you been faithful? Or if you're asked to do something in service to the Lord at your church, and we need you to do this, and this is the desire we have, and this is the result. And if we don't do it, when we start adding our own twist to it with people, we're going to do, just like I gave you my example, the same thing related to the Lord. Why? Because it's not the right time. It doesn't seem good. I've got something else to do. And the more we put things off, the more room we give the devil to talk us out of what we've been told to do. Acts 13:22. After he had removed him, talking about Saul, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And look at this last phrase. We often stop there and say, I found David. Yeah, I want to be like David. I'm a man after God's own heart. Well, let's finish the sentence. Who will do all my will? David was faithful, just like Jesus was faithful. This is what the Lord wants. Let me read you some other explanation or some other translations of that. I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all of my will and carry out my program fully. Complete Jewish Bible says he will do everything I want. And the New Living simply says he will do everything that I want him to do. So do you see the type of heart we're required to walk in seeking the Lord, if we're going to be truly diligent, truly faithful in what we're looking at? Now look at verse 13. Back in the Luke 16 chapter, making you jump around. Those three verses lead up to this one. No one can serve two masters. Now, what did we talk about last week? Is money going to be your master, or is money going to be your servant? What is your view on it? Who are you looking at? And what we begin to see, what I believe we begin to see with this, is when it says no servant can serve two masters, my biggest fight is serving my master versus what I want to do. Which means, is my flesh mastering me versus am I living in my spirit? Because we can be our own worst enemy with that. And then it says, for he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. That is why it says we cannot serve God and mammon, or in the case of the New American Standard, it says wealth. Does that verse have a little different perspective to you as you see this? Because what have we been fighting? What has been the opposition we've had in verses 10, 11, and 12? It's our flesh. Am I going to be submitted to the Lord and to doing His will? Or am I going to let my flesh and what I think about a matter, what I feel about it, it doesn't look right to me, well, I think it ought to be. Am I going to do that, or am I going to shift and say, Lord, I'm going to do what You've asked me to do, and I'm going to do it with a smile on my face because I want to be faithful to You. Now, what was the promise we had earlier? A faithful man will what? Abound in blessings. Not if, he will abound. Two quick examples. Joseph, stripped naked, sold, taken to Egypt. Potiphar buys him, puts him in his house, gives him a couple of things to do. And the word says, and the Lord was with him. He does those things, and what happens then? Potiphar sees that what he's doing is blessed. Something good happened that Potiphar could see. Remember we talked about that's one of the purposes, so that others can see how good the Lord is? And then that grew, and it grew to what? Everything that Potiphar had was in his hands. Everything he had. And then when Potiphar's wife tried to take him, he resisted and he said, how can I do this when he's given everything in his hand and sin? He didn't say against Potiphar, but he said against the Lord. So he had a vision that everything he was doing was for serving the Lord. Does that sound like a New Testament scripture? Everything you do, do as unto. So we're beginning to see what a faithful servant, a faithful steward looks like. Daniel. Look at Daniel chapter 6. And we'll just read four verses here and we'll close. See if I can beat Miss Julie there. First verse said, it seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom that they should be in charge of the whole kingdom. So, he's put stewards there. And over them, three commissioners of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not what? Suffer loss. In other words, that he was going to be the overseer to ensure that they did things that was to benefit the one who had put them in that stewardship position. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself amongst the commissioners because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. A preeminent ruach is what the Hebrew really says. And so the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. So because David was very faithful in what he did, what happened to him? Increase. Promotion. Daniel, I mean. And then in verse 4, then the commissioners and the other satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence or corruption. So they were spying on him. And they couldn't find anything inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found with him. Now today we would say they went and bugged David's house. They put a video camera on. Well, all I can say is I'm glad that some people who didn't like me didn't go try to do that kind of thing to me. Because if we're honest, we all grumble and complain about those that we are submitted to. But yet, he stayed steady and he was promoted. Luke 12, verse 41. Yes, it is. Peter saying, Lord, You're addressing this parable to us or to everyone else. And he's talking here about the parable where he's talking about being ready for His return. And I want you to look at what the Lord responded. Who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom His Master will put in charge of His servants to give them their rations to distribute at the proper time? This is what the Lord is looking for in the earth today. As His return draws nigh. He's looking for those of you who will be faithful to do everything that He's asked. Now, faithfulness is not an emotional roller coaster. We're not faithful one day and not the next. It's not something we work up. You need to remember that faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. In other words, His DNA, the Father's DNA of faithfulness, resides in your spirit. It's there already. You also don't need to be concerned about what has happened in the past. And I wrote this when we were doing a study of the fruit of the Spirit concerning faithfulness. My unfaithfulness in the past is in my past. You and I need to leave it there. This is what I did. It's not who I am, because I am in Christ Jesus. I believe in God and I'm faithful to Him and to His Son and to His Holy Spirit. Beloved, I believe tonight that if we will do these things, the Lord's going to increase the scope of our witness and our testimony for what He's done and will do through us so that others see it. The first purpose that we looked at. I believe there's going to be increased blessing in our lives so that we can be a larger blessing to others outside the immediate church family as well as in it. I believe that there'll be increased fruit produced by this ministry, High Point Church, because we'll be blessed and we'll be giving more, and therefore we're going to increase through the use of unrighteous mammon the things that we can go and accomplish for the kingdom's sake. And do you remember the fourth one? I also believe that because we've been blessed, and we're going to learn how to give, how to tithe, what we ought to say about it, that we are going to draw closer to the Lord and stay closer to Him so that we don't worry, am I being faithful or unfaithful? We can be like Jesus and say, I only do what I hear the Spirit of the Lord tell me to do. I only say. This is the increase that I believe He wants for you and I tonight. Father, I ask You in Jesus' name to open our hearts up to the words that we've spoken tonight. As we pursue Your wisdom, let us pursue it with the understanding that You said we would find it. And Father, I thank You that You've laid out for us tonight how we can walk as a faithful steward, valuing everything You give us, not putting an amount on it, not putting a size to it, but treating it with the value that You gave it to us, seeing us with. And I thank You, Father, as we do that, we can expect blessings to abound to us and increase to begin to come, not only to us, but to those around us and to this ministry that we're so thankful to be a part of. And it's in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, so be it.